Fox Sports 1340 AM presents to you. WMER, Wrestling Marks of Excellence Radio, starring The Firm, J-Lo, Nephew, Corey, and Dr. D, bringing you the latest up-to-date information on professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Now, live from the Fox Sports 1340 studios in Hopewell, Virginia.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on Fox Sports Radio 1348 and 96.9 FM. As always, I'm your host, Glenn Thomas. With me, as always, the Wizard himself, Nephew Corey. What's going on, Wizard?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much. We also blessed today to have on Mr. AEW himself, Champ Creed. What's going on, Champ, out there in Las Vegas, getting ready for Double or Nothing?
Wait, hold on. When was I knighted, Mr. AEW?
Like, didn't you go to All In also?
No, I was in Alaska.
Oh, yeah, so you was on vacation.
Okay. So you aren't in the AEW yet.
All right, not yet. Yeah,
I might be after this weekend. It depends on what kind of show they put on.
Depends on what kind
name
of show they put
on. Name is pending.
Name is pending. Right now is at the office of patents right now, whatever. Copyright, and we just waiting for the approval.
Right.
We're waiting for it to get approved. We can dig it. Oh, man, let's get started. Let's get started at Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank, we know we talked this week. The big thing for Money in the Bank is that we had a cash in, and Bayley is your new SmackDown champion. You was there. Your thoughts on Bayley becoming a new SmackDown champion. Is this a slight to Sasha Banks, or the WWE really wanted to go with Bayley?
I said it the other week. Part of it, it's a little both. I think Bayley does deserve it. I mean, she's working hard, but also they're definitely pushing her in spite as well. I mean, and that's, it sucks because I don't want it to seem like I'm taking away from Bayley. I'm not. But we know how they operate. They're like, okay, oh, you want to go? Watch this. And now Bayley's going to get pushed. And it's not going to be something fluke either. She's going to have a nice run. She really is.
And she becomes the first Triple Crown champion.
No, Grand Slam. Grand Slam.
I must say, now, this is where WWE's calling her Triple Crown because I think other people came out with saying Grand Slam. To me, a Grand Slam means four because when I think of
baseball, WWE called her Grand Slam. They called her Grand Slam. Yes, they did.
But also in a tweet of theirs, they called her Triple Crown too.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. Here's my situation with that. They do refer to Bayley as Grand Slam. They do. I did see that from them. They do. However, to me, Charlotte's the first Grand Slam.
Yeah.
For real. Because Charlotte was NXT, Divas, and both Raw and SmackDown Women's Champion. To me, Charlotte is the first. But that's, you know, we mentioned at this point, but I mean, if they want to call Bayley the first, that's perfectly fine. Because, like I said, she is NXT, Raw, SmackDown, and Women's Tag.
And they want to keep their Women's Tag Team titles in there. And I definitely understand that, which kind of, in my opinion, non-existent right now, even though the Iconics, we want to see them win, but haven't done anything with the title since they became, which makes Sasha Banks' argument even much better, right?
I know.
It makes Sasha Banks' argument right now because the Iconics are far from being iconic, if you know what I mean. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, definitely do that. But, you know, anyway, Sasha Banks wins. Bayley wins the Money in the Bank. She cashes in, and she is the new Women's SmackDown champion. But we also saw a major surprise. The WWE did a good job hiding this, the return of the Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar, back in the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. And Brock is the Beast in the Bank right now.
Yes, he is.
And I know everybody out there say, please don't cash in on Kofi. Please don't cash in on Kofi. I want Brock to face Kofi Kingston.
We saw what happened the first time.
Yeah, but I do. But I think this time will be different. Different with Kofi. I think it helps him solidify his title run. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if he ends up losing it to Brock, I don't think it should be till later. But the reason why I think he's going to end up facing Brock for real, and Brock's going to end up facing Kofi, is because if Kofi's still champion by the time SmackDown goes to Fox, I think Fox will pull that card, and they're gonna want Lesnar on there at some point. I really think so.
They do, because he's a big draw. He is a major draw. People love him. Plus, they need some big-time players and prime-time players on there for Friday night. And then I want Champ to get on this one, because we have a new title in the WWE. Mick Foley put in a tough spot to go ahead and announce this new title, which is the opposite of the hardcore title. I don't know, the cousin of the hardcore title, but this is a 24/7 title. Right now, current champion as we record this and speak is R-Truth, but that can change at any moment. R-Truth is the 24/7 champion. At first, when I saw this, I didn't like it. I'm like, man, what in the world are they doing? But as the night went on and the people start pinning folk and start hitting people, hiding people, I'm like, you know what? This works in this era. I like it. People haven't seen it. It's been long enough that some people have not seen it. You had to go on YouTube to see what it's talking about. I think it's going to work.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, when it first came out, I was like, okay, that looked like the Waffle House 24/7 sign, green belt. But, you know, putting my personal bias aside, I said, let me give it some time. And when Titus first got the belt, I was like, okay, all right, finally they have something for Titus. And then like 5 seconds later, he loses it to Bobby Roode, Robert Roode, which I felt that's a little bit beneath him, but it gives him something to do. And then the backstage shenanigans, and he loses it to R-Truth. And then I said, you know what? This is a great idea as long as you keep that guy involved with it, because he is pure entertainment, comedic gold.
He is.
Yeah, this concept is perfect for him. Like it's something that can work for other people to get them in the fold, but as of now, they did a good thing by putting it on him and letting him carry it for the first couple shows.
That's the thing that I think people are missing out on, is that R-Truth that really doesn't get the credit that he deserves as far as the talent overall. Like the guy, like people always look at him as either a jobber or just, you know, oh, he's a comedian. Like, no, the dude can still go in the ring. He's daggone near 50. Like, legitimately, he's almost 50 years old.
He is 50.
And he still can hang with the young dudes and is still performing and sometimes outperforming from an overall package, including entertainment, than most of the roster. Like, he's just good.
He's very entertaining.
Wait. We got to revisit this because we're gonna go at this as long as we're on the air together. I still feel they missed the boat with him taking the title from Cena.
I agree.
Little Jimmy era.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you on that. I definitely agree. Little Jimmy could have been a 6'7", 235-pound man that he called Little Jimmy. It could have been anybody. I think they did miss the boat with there. I mean, especially the event was in Washington, D.C. What better place for R-Truth to beat John Cena at was in D.C.?
Yeah.
You know, what better place? I do like the WWE. The title, I know, Wiz, you're not going to cop that, you know, whenever they start selling it. But the WWE was smart to try to hide this, because if you look at it, it's the old 24/7 on-demand channel. Design. Mm-hmm. If you remember that, people remember that channel before the WWE Network.
Well, I would buy that belt. I would.
You know, good.
They made that for guys like you. Listen, the most profitable thing in the shop zone are the belts by far, in terms of the profit margin. So that's just another one in the case that you're gonna have, and that other people will spend boatloads of money on.
Well, look. If they charge $450 for Daniel Bryan's belt or $425 for Daniel Bryan's belt, this is going to be about $425 as well.
Daniel's was $400, and actually, until they took it off, because people were actually getting over. What's funny, people purchased the Daniel Bryan belt when it went out there, and like a week later, it went on sale, and people were calling and complaining, and WWE were refunding everybody $100. You know, they paid for it, you know, on the original drop. So they were refunding people $100 back, and then they took it off of sale because it was 25% off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was pissed because I just missed it, but it is what it is.
It is what it is.
I'll catch it. I'm not pressed.
Nah, I definitely enjoy the hardcore. It gets guys on TV that you haven't seen on TV. Drake Maverick right now is being one of the stars right now with this 24/7 and all the stuff they're doing on social media. Think about it. It keeps you in tune to WWE social media all the time to see what happens. I'm guarantee you within the next week or within the next month, somebody would drop this in the airport. Somebody would drop this at a hotel. Somebody might drop this at a Waffle House. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be interesting to keep up with social media. And the way that it is, it's open to anybody. NXT, the ring announcer, the producers in the back. It doesn't matter who it is. They can be the 24/7 champion. It's no different than what AEW is doing with this Battle Royal. Just throwing everybody in there. And so it's unique for WWE to do this. And I'm not mad at them one bit. For the 24/7 championship. Good luck. Right now, R-Truth is your longest reigning 24/7 champion. So, hey, shout out to R-Truth.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, really?
He is the longest reigning 24/7 champion.
Okay.
So he is. But now, let's go. Champ, you out in Las Vegas right now. AEW is this weekend. You've been out there for a minute. What's the pulse right now? I know it's only we record this late Thursday night, early Thursday your time. You know, what's the pulse right now? Is a lot of AEW fans coming in? What do you see?
I mean, well, to be honest with you, it's Thursday. Everything kicks off later tonight, and it's not really going too well in terms of like what you would expect from your standard WrestleMania weekend or your standard SummerSlam weekend, what have you. But so far, so good. It's not too bad.
You know, and that's one of the things I think people are looking a lot into this AEW is, do you consider, Wiz, I'm going to ask you this. Is this a make or break weekend for AEW, even though it's the first weekend?
No, to be honest, the make or break is going to be how they do with the first television show. This was already in the plans. So, I mean, whatever they do with this, that's not going to really be a true testament, I don't think. I think it's going to be the first couple of weeks of this television show.
Yeah, and I will say, let me say this, because the logistics here, there's a lot of other things going on in Las Vegas this particular weekend. So I don't expect like a groundswell of AEW fans to kind of like take over, like say WWE fans would, just because it's in Las Vegas. I mean, even if you ran Money in the Bank this weekend, or if you ran any other pay-per-view this weekend outside of SummerSlam or Mania, you know, I don't think you would have like an apparent sizable crowd that would be noticeable just because there's so much going on for this particular weekend. You know,
right.
We'll see what happens tomorrow and Saturday as the event draws closer. But as of now, you know, you see a smattering of folks here and there, mainly in Caesar's Palace, which is ground zero, you know, for all of the events. You know, you can identify, a cultural identifier is basically the T-shirts and the merch and the hats that you see. So I saw a few folks. Bumped into a couple people that I hadn't seen in a while. And I just want to say, I've never really been an indie guy. I mean, outside of my time with Johnny Rods and WUW, I've never really bought in too much to the whole indie scene. I recognize who people are. I might see something on Access Television. I'll check a few tweets or social media accounts, but I've never been like a staunch advocate of the indies. So, you know, I'm flying into this event blind. I mean, I know who some of the people are on the card, and I'll get to know everyone else. So this is a totally new experience for me, and, you know, I'm not coming in with a critical eye, but I will have my full elite critique by next week.
Gotcha. I like what you did there. This other question I have for you guys, and honest answers. Before they even do a pay-per-view or do a show, are they the number two company already just because they announced that they're on TNT?
Yeah.
Well, I'll say this. Let me jump in.
Go ahead.
I don't think that they're – I don't look at it as competition. I think they are the alternative because they really haven't done anything outside of All In. You know, the deal was announced in, what, January, February. Television deal was announced like 2 weeks ago. So this, from a company standpoint, this is their legit first show. And you can't say you're number two if you're doing your first official show as a company with a television deal. I don't think we get that answer until the year is over. You know, right now, we look at it as the alternative to what's going on. But I will say that if you are an alternative wrestling company, you couldn't have picked a better time to do this than right now. With all of the things, you know, the post-mania kind of like die down, so to say, with the things outside of the ring, the things creatively that's going on, the infrastructure changes that the WWE is experiencing right now, the thirst and the hunger for fans to want to have something else to look at, just to have something else to look at, you know, they couldn't have picked a better time. So I won't say that they're number two. I won't say that they're competition. I'll just say that they're a very interesting alternative at this time.
Go ahead, Wiz.
That's good. I mean, from to answer the question, though, yeah, they number two. They are. That's just to me. They're number two because the buzz that's around them, I mean, and this is no disrespect to Impact or ROH, nobody's talking about them. Until, look at the talent pool that's at AEW already compared to what's already at ROH and Impact. Impact's up there. But right now, I think unless AEW folds out or something, I think AEW is going to end up being the number two. I really do.
And that's a lot to do that because the money they have backing them, because they had the $1 billion of the Khan family that's backing them because of the production they're putting on. Right now, they look like $1 million. To me, right now, they're the Cleveland Browns before we even play the first football game.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's, you know, they're looking great, but they again, production value has to be 100%. Talent has to be able to put on great matches. And I'm not just talking about high-flying matches and people jumping off of, you know, scaffolds and doing 15 million flips, but definitely telling a story within the ring. So I think that.
But wait, hold on. Let me interject. But wrestling storytelling in the ring has evolved and it's changed. Like what some older guys may see as, oh, it's just a bunch of hot spots. If the audience wants just a bunch of hot spots and they can tell a story with just a bunch of hot spots, then that's what's for the generation. Like, think about this. Back in the day, I can't remember who it was, but this guy's finishing move was a drop kick, whatever, right? I don't know if it was Chief J Strongbow or Billy Robinson or whoever, but the finishing move was a drop kick. Then it came to a point where a drop kick was a setup move. Look at Sweet Chin Music, you know? That was Sean's finisher. Now the Young Bucks go on a Sweet Chin party. They do how many super kicks per match? You know, I don't personally like it, but the audience here, that's what they like.
And I definitely understand that, but I'm going based off what Cody was saying. It's going to be like a sporting event. Or a going to be wins or losses is going to make a difference. So, you know, with all the high spots and all that, you only can do but so much in a ring and with guys. And we saw, you know, we heard about early in the week, you know, to me, the biggest thing for them is how they can make everybody happy. We heard about Pac and Hangman Page. Pac said he doesn't want to lose, not to Hangman Page, but he doesn't want to lose to Kenny Omega as reports coming out. He didn't mind because he was scheduled to beat Hangman Page at a double or nothing, but he didn't want to lose to Omega later on because he was the Dragon Gate champion. Now, if these guys are not assigned to exclusive contracts and, you know, they don't want to lose, you can't guarantee every match is going to be a five-star match. That's what I'm just talking about because it's good if you do it a one-off for double or nothing. It's good that you can do it for All In, but can you sustain it for 52 weeks? I'm not saying they can't. I hope they do because I like competition, but you have a lot of young guys that are on this AEW roster that needs to be developed and be able to, and some of them, it's not an indie show that you just at the indie show on, you know, Saturday night. It has to be done weekly for these guys.
Well, wait a minute. Cody said they're going to examine a potential off season for the programming. So it might not have to be 52 weeks. You know,
And we, as we were talking earlier, it doesn't have to be 12 pay-per-views per year. Like, that's WWE's model. They can set up a totally different model and kind of like
or
change.
Use WWE's old model with just four. Or use four.
You know, they have a lot of ways that they can execute. I don't think they're pigeonholed into one way of doing things. And that's, you know, an issue because we've been conditioned to see business models in this particular realm of entertainment as one way because there's always been one dominant company. Now that you have a viable alternative with a high level of financial backing behind it and great distribution, because we're not even just talking about Turner Sports. We're talking about Bleacher Report now. Bleacher Report is one of the top sports content apps today that rivals ESPN, that rivals Fox Sports. You know, Bleacher Report is up there. And then there are other things that they can do with the other networks that they have under the Turner banner. You know, so they have the ability to do something that I don't think we've seen. It's just a matter of having the creative minds to execute it. And then they also need to have a window for errors because, I mean, I'll tell you now, the experience here so far trying to get, you know, in the mix with StarCast, you know, there's some things that they have to tighten up. But I'll have those details in my, you know, my elite critique next week. Super Freak. Raphael Sadiq. Let's go.
Yo, but let's get on. I want to touch on that. I brought it up earlier in my discussion in the conversation. But that Pac situation, what do y'all think about that? How can they make?
How can they do what?
I don't think he paid his phone bill, Corey.
Man. So let's just me and you keep going then.
All right.
I think he was asking about the Pac situation as far as. For those who haven't heard, right now, the Pac Hangman Page match is off the table for Double or Nothing, and it was due to, from what they're saying, creative differences as far as creative differences, aka word going around is Pac didn't want to lose. And right now, I honestly, until the match doesn't happen, I'm going to treat that as a work, especially because they were just working with each other at another show last week.
Yeah.
To where this news came out. So I got to think it's a work until it doesn't happen.
Well, if
it doesn't happen, then yeah, go ahead.
Latest reports come out that Hangman Page, will not have a match. That's the latest story that I've read.
He's a big deal for that company. I can't see him not having a match. He's too big of a deal for the company.
Yeah, I definitely see that. You know, I can definitely see that they have to give him something. You got Sean Spears over there, a.k.a. Ty Dillinger, who's officially now an AEW superstar. If you don't know who Ty Dillinger is, he is Perfect 10. He used to be with WWE NXT. His 90 days are up, and he will be part of the Double or Nothing pay-per-view. Does he have an impact in the company?
No, he's an AEW.
I mean,
No, to be honest, I think he does. He's another name. You know, he's another good, solid hand name. So I think
and
so.
a great talent. He's more than just a name. He's
a
great talent.
Yeah, he is. He's very good. So yeah, absolutely, he'll make an impact.
I think so too. I think he wasn't used correctly. He became a product of what we always talk about with WWE when they call a guy up too early and didn't have anything for him.
Yeah.
He was the guy they called up. He was getting some steam down at NXT. He was building up momentum. And next thing you know, he's on the main roster and they had nothing for him. And I think he was one of the guys that would have benefited staying down, especially if they were going to bring in the North American title and he didn't have to be NXT champion. He could have stayed and fought for that title.
That's what I was literally about to say, is that it's weird, and it's not Hunter. I really think it's Vince, pretty much. It's like, as soon as somebody is starting to get white hot in NXT, they get their legs cut from under them and brought up to the main roster. Tyler Breeze was getting becoming huge in NXT. Come on, they picked this dude to fight Jushin Thunder Liger in his first WWE match ever.
Right.
They picked Tyler Breeze. Like, it's a big deal. Tyler was huge in NXT. And they cut his legs out from under him by bringing him to the main roster. It was like he was being groomed to where he was going to be a top guy down at NXT. And the same thing happened with Ty Dillinger. They cut his legs out from under him and they bring him up. The Ascension, they bring him up. It was like it's like they brought the Ascension up with nothing to do. Like, they threw face paint on them and ruined them. And now you can't even see these dudes unless you watch Main Event, which is a shame because they were the most dominant tag team down there for a long time.
Same with the Viking Experience.
Yeah, Viking Raiders, I'm really –
I'm mad about that one.
I'm cautious about that one now because as good as they are, I feel like WWE is going to find a way to mess them up. I mean, the Revival is great. They're the best tag team they have up there right now other than the Usos. Mm-hmm. And they're really the second best tag team. And you're not doing anything. I mean, they're doing something wrong right now, but it's like, come on now. Like, these are workers.
Yeah, they're totally not what they used to be. Viking Raiders, what they were when they were in Ring of Honor.
Oh, no, not at all.
Not even close. You have right now. You have the Revival, who probably just like a person, like an inmate in jail. They're counting their days down right now. Each day that goes by is one more day closer to them to be leaving the company. And I think they're not the only one back there. I think there's a lot of people back there that are waiting for their day so they can go ahead and leave the company. Not because, you know, Jim Ross says it all the time on his podcast. It's either two things make people leave wrestling. Or have problems with wrestling is creative and cash. And I think a lot, it's not the cash in WWE, it's the creative that's making a lot of people mad. And, you know, and not, hence they're not on TV, they come to work, people just don't want to go eat and catering all day. I didn't leave my family to go sit in catering and eat.
No.
You know what I think, though? I think this, and I don't want to sound like that guy, but I think, there's a high level of entitlement with this generation of particular performers because the way I look at it is, you know, the industry that you're going into, you know that there are certain roles, you know that there's a tier to it, right? Mm-hmm. And you know that once you're there, the booker is your creative. The booker may take input from you, might not, but you have to perform the duty that they give you, the role that they give you, the character that they give you. You're just a vessel for the booker and the writer's creative. You know this going into it. It's not like there's been a transition. Like, say, when Randy Orton was in Ohio Valley to now, he's gone from that transition. Those thoughts of what happened when you step into the game, those ideas and notions are no longer there. You know, when you go to NXT, you're going into a factory, an assembly line, a machine that if they see promise in your individual talent to execute their ideas, you get pushed up. So I don't get why you're frustrated when you know what you signed up for. And I'm looking at it like this. If I say I want to be a WWE performer, right, and I sign the dotted line, I'm signing over my creative everything. I know that I'm doing this. So the only thing, when they give me a character, I'm just going to think, because I was just watching Beyond the Mat, when they gave Draws puke, whatever, right? You know, it was based on something that he could do, you know? Like if they gave EC3 the character Derek Diarrhea, it's because individually, he's one of the crappiest performers.
Like, you have no end.
Come through the curtain.
You have no end.
But you all get my point.
Okay. Yes. That's the new Bobby Brain Heenan, man.
He's the worst, man.
It's the worst.
I had to lay that one in there.
But look, they are. And that's the problem. And that's something that AEW has to be able to do that WWE has a hard time doing. And that's creating stars. You have to create people that you have to create a roster or people on the roster that the fans are invested in for however long, whether you have an off season or not, whether you hit the reset button after your big show or not, people have to be invested in storylines. And I think that's where it's key. Wins or losses or not, wins or losses or not, people have to be invested. And when you get to WWE guys now, there's no one invested. I think we talked about a couple weeks ago, you know, that person who cut the great promo makes people invested. When Punk cut the pipe bomb promo, people was invested. When Punk won the title at Money in the Bank and went to the Cubs game and went on ESPN and had the title in the refrigerator, people were invested. They liked to see something different. Stone Cold Steve Austin, people were invested in that character. The Rock, people was invested in the character. So right now, some guys in the back in the WWE have not, 10 minutes of TV time, 5 minutes of TV time, really haven't made us invested unless you, Ali has made people invested. Kofi Kingston has made people invested. Daniel Bryan has made people invested. They, whatever they was given, they made people buy into the investment. Dolph Ziggler's return this week, we'll get to that a little bit later, has made people invested in to see Dolph Ziggler yet again. And I think that's what AEW has to be able to do with some of these talents that are. Let's remember, these talents are not household names. Champ, you said it earlier. You're not a guy who watches the indies a lot or go to a lot of indie shows. You're going to have to make some of these indie guys that no one knows a household name. And I think that's the difficult process for AEW.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't disagree. I don't even think it's to the point where you can make stars anymore. I think that the performer has to organically strike a chord. You have to recognize it. Then you got to finance, market, and promote it. That's what I think. There's no, we always say make stars, but there's no recipe to make a star. It's a lot of luck. It's a lot of timing, especially in this era. There were things that you could do individually back in the day to cultivate your character to the point where it does resonate. But in WWE, you can't do that anymore. It's a virtual assembly line. It's a donut factory. It's Krispy Kreme, Dunkin' Donuts, you know, and Intamin's all in one. Like, look. The main roster is Krispy Kreme, right? 205 Live, that's Intamin's. NXT is Dunkin' Donuts, you know? And all you're getting is a bunch of dough, sugar, and fillings that come in, and then you just got to figure out what type of combination that the fans are going to like to purchase. And I just made myself very hungry right now.
Great. Hey, we talked about, let's jump here, Dolph Ziggler return. Your thoughts on Dolph Ziggler returning to SmackDown on this past Tuesday night, attacking Kofi Kingston, and the whole segment in general. What's your thoughts?
Well, it's the next thing up for Kofi, so I'm here for it. Dolph did a good job. I'm ready to see what else he's got to offer.
Me too. It made me go back to when I thought about it. Remember the feuds they used to have over the IC title?
And the U.S. title.
Like, and the U.S. title.
Yeah, like, here's the thing. Like, silently, you know, on the much, much milder scale, they're like Orton and Cena. Like, they kind of, you know, came up together and all of that, and, you know. A good move for them.
Yeah, very good dance partners. I mean, they're very good dance partners.
Very good.
And then you can play a lot of storylines into that. One storyline that could be played into that, Big E and Dolph Ziggler have a relationship. If you ever want to take it, if you ever want to take it that far, if it becomes, you know, gets to that point, you can go there because Big E and Dolph definitely had a relationship with each other back in the day with AJ Lee. And so I think these two guys, good dance partners, one of the reasons being Kevin Owens is not attending the Saudi Arabia show in Jeddah. Neither is Daniel Bryan, you know, for whatever reason they're not going. Neither is Aleister Black, which his reason is a lot going on with him, why he's not going to Saudi Arabia, according to reports and according to what he believes in and according to who his character, what he is not going to Saudi Arabia. So. But I think Dolph Ziggler and Kofi Kingston, I think this would be good for TV, be good for Saudi Arabia, and it'd be good for SmackDown. Maybe the fans would really invest back into Dolph Ziggler yet again after his destruction of Kofi Kingston. You know, Champ, your thoughts on this?
Well, I didn't get a chance to see Dolph's promo. I'm happy that he's back, though, because I think the guy is one hell of a worker. I just don't think that after the Vicky Guerrero pairing that he had, I just don't think they found a way to catapult his Wait, didn't he date, like, a famous person or something like that?
Yeah, Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
Oh, bro, like, that right there, you know, we talk about timing, opportunities, and the catapult to the next level. That right there was his. Like, I don't think you ever get an opportunity like that again, because Amy, she's A-list level. And if you have the opportunity to be linked with an A-list personality, whether you're male or female or whatever, how it works, I think that's your opportunity to springboard into the collective conscious of fans outside of WWE and then bring them back to the WWE universe. And I just don't think that was very well capitalized upon. Maybe because, I don't know, maybe because they didn't see what they could do with him, or maybe they didn't want to do anything with him, because I don't see how he's dating like a film star of that level. And they don't say, hey, let's get him involved in ABCD and let's have him go hand in. I don't see how that doesn't happen.
Yeah, but she said she broke up with him. She said she broke up with him. I remember this because it was a joke. She broke up with him because she said the sex was too athletic.
Yeah.
But wait, how long were they together, though?
I guess they were one of them off and on couples.
Yeah, one off and on.
But nah, they dated for a little while.
Yeah.
But gosh, this was like 2012 years ago.
Yeah, 2012, 2013.
Yeah, but I think that was his window. Like, now he's just brought back as a competitive opponent that's gonna work well with Kofi. Then what happens after he's done with Kofi? Back to oblivion, you know? Like, I just don't see it, like a lot of people say, man, and I don't like to compare things to the Attitude Era or anything like that. Let's just talk about the era of intriguing storylines. Let's just say that. I could always remember you had your primary story on a show, your secondary story on a show, your third option for a story, and then you had a bunch of things underneath which would propel to the third story. And then if it was that good, it could skip the third story and hop up to the second story. Like, if you're not, like, in the main story right now, it just doesn't seem like, you know, it has traction. And I mean, they're trying. I'm not going to knock it and criticize like they're not trying. But it's just not working. And, like, for a guy like Dolph, he comes back now, we'll have a good run with Kofi. Then my thing is like, okay, so what do you do with this talent now?
I mean, you got other dance partners. You got other dance partners. You got out there. You still got, Daniel Bryan maybe out there. You have a Shinsuke that they need to do something with him. You got Xavier. You can go through the whole New Day. And I see what you're saying. After Kofi, you don't have any more. You got Sami Zayn, who's already been feuded with Kofi. He's not going to Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. You already had Kevin Owens mentioned. He's not going. So you have to. You brought Dolph back, but this, we all know, this is a one-off with Dolph and Kofi Kingston. This is for the Saudi Arabia pay-per-view. And you got a point there. Where does Dolph Ziggler go? Maybe he goes back off of TV after this. Or they ship him over the Raw. You know, that's one of the things there. You never know. I think right now WWE's throwing stuff at the wall and sees what sticks.
Yeah.
I can believe that.
They're definitely seeing what sticks. There's no consistency into some of these things, some of the storylines. And then, of course, you could throw Saudi Arabia in this, and you got 2-week buildup. And I understand why the pay-per-view is at 2:00 in the afternoon. But to me, and I text you guys in the group, you're building this better than your main show, WrestleMania. I have a problem with that.
And if they're saying could be, which I don't have a problem with it, because you got to sell it. You got to get people to watch it. I know it's on the network, but you got to sell it.
Who are you selling it to, though? I mean, I think we're going to watch it anyway. We just won't have to watch it at 2 o'clock.
No, you still got new people. You still got new people you got to sell it to.
Yeah, because Saudi Arabia's already paid for it.
I mean, yeah, but still, you still got to do something.
Yeah, but maybe it's because of my ignorance and not knowing how the ratings or the system works on the network, how they judge who watches what show, because it's their own network. So they really, the ratings could be boo-boo, and we would never know. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I know you want to sell it. and you want to promote it, you don't know how many live views at 2 p.m. you're going to get. You don't know how many, you know, replays you're going to get. So, I mean, I understand selling it, but I still think my biggest show that I have, the granddaddy of it all, I'm not going to say this could be. I just wouldn't even put that in somebody's mind, because some people may not hear the could. I'm like, oh, dang, this show bigger than WrestleMania? What? I'm just saying. I wouldn't put that in.
Okay. Fair enough.
You know, that's just from my marketing standpoint, I wouldn't do that there. Well, let's get ready. One more thing I wanted to touch on with this week. And, you know, shout out to Bray Wyatt and JoJo for having their baby. Congratulations on them for having their baby this week, which is, you know, the Bray Wyatt character in the midst of his new character coming up. We didn't talk about this last week. Champ, your thoughts on this new Bray Wyatt character?
Listen, man. Now, you want to talk about those intriguing promos that get you wrapped up in a character and their direction, and you're waiting for their debut. One part of me would say, well, if you were building him up to this point, why not have him come out and grab the Money in the Bank instead of Brock? But I understand the political, economic, and ratings reasons for that. I'm no pun intended. I'm all in for this new evolution of what Bray Wyatt is, man. Like, this guy continues to push the bar within his own character, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think we've seen this type of individual evolution of a character in a very, very long time. A lot of guys, they reach a certain point and then they're content with that point, but this guy just took it to a whole new level. You know what? I feel that he looks at this as an art form, and like the little subtle details that captivate, you know, the fans, the little nuances, he is doing a great job checking off all of those boxes. And I wish like other people would follow his lead, not the way he's doing it, but in terms of like the fundamental approach. You know,
right.
Like, this was very, very good. Very good. I have no problem with it whatsoever. I can't wait to see what happens, you know, as he goes along.
I mean, I thought it was real thought-provoking. You can tell he has that, I don't want to say Jake the Snake mentality, but he really thinks his stuff out. Whoever, I'm assuming that he's writing his stuff, or somebody who's
yeah,
really
I,
into
I'm not. I'm not.
Abyss?
I think he has something to deal with it, but I'm not going to completely discredit creative like that. Somebody else is helping him.
Okay,
absolutely.
I can see some Abyss in this.
Yeah, there you go.
You know,
absolutely.
I see some of that, because if you look at some of the stuff that he did from TNA, it was kind of dark on that level.
Mm-hmm.
My question with, I love the gimmick, I love the storyline, I love how it's going, but can this sustain, or can this be WWE Universal Championship quality? Or are we just seeing another gimmick that won't go but so far?
It has potential, but they've really got to ride this wave now. If they're going to really go with this dude, they got to go with this dude.
Yeah, they can't be bouncing back and forth. I'd rather see him wrestle in the mask, whatever you want to call it. Keep that on the whole time you're wrestling. Whatever you need to do with his entrance. I'm interested to see the entrance. I'm sorry. I want to see the entrance for this.
Yeah. No, you're right. I agree.
I'm interested to see the entrance for this, because I'm so invested into this character now. The scary stuff, the clowns, the pants, the whole, the alter ego of being the Pee Wee Herman, Mr. Rogers next door type guy. I'm invested and I'm in this. I want to see how WWE continue to play this out, and how Bray Wyatt and the Firefly fans can go ahead and transition to this new Bray Wyatt, and can this new Bray Wyatt be at the next level as being WWE champ? We don't see gimmicks as WWE champions much. And I think to get into business, that's what you want to become, WWE champion. You want to be able to also sell merchandise at this point. I just wanted to see if Bray Wyatt could be WWE champion with this new gimmick. Hey, but let's get ready to wrap this show up. Real quick, the major card, the major events from AEW. of the major matches on the card. Just get one of some, your thoughts, the three main event matches that I call. Cody Rhodes versus Dustin Rhodes. Who do y'all have?
Cody.
Cody.
I'm going Dustin.
I mean, yeah, you could.
Yeah, it's a one-off show with no continuous storylines. Well, I don't mind.
Yeah. Then you got the Young Bucks taking on the Lucha Bros.
Young Bucks.
I'm going to go different Lucha Bros because it's for the Triple A World Tag Team Championships. And I don't think they bring their – they don't have the Triple A Tag Team Championship going into AEW.
We don't know what deal they got. Wait, look.
And the trip, there's a Triple A show in Madison Square Garden in September, which is a couple of weeks before AEW airs. So we don't know how they could work that out.
They could work a partnership out. I'm not mad. We saw Cody win the NWA championship. So it could happen. It could happen. Maybe I'm thinking a little bit too logical on some of these matches. Then you had the main event, Kenny Omega taking on Chris Jericho. Thoughts on this one? Do we get another 5-star match?
Who won the last one? Omega, right?
Omega.
Jericho may win this one, actually.
Jericho may win this one.
I'm not kidding. Like, it's something. I can't go all of the Elite winning this time like I want to, but.
Yeah.
I'm going Jericho.
You know what? I think I'm going Jericho too. I think I'm going to go Jericho on this one since Kenny did win the last one. And I your same theory, Wizard. All the Elite or all the executive vice presidents can't win. for booking sake and for that locker room, they all can't win. So I will go ahead. Jericho wins this one.
Right. I agree.
Champ?
Well, like I said, I got Kenny. I got Kenny O winning this one, man. Well, I do want to say something before we, like, you know, wrap up, whatever. I think one of the things that has helped this alternative base galvanize, you got to give shout-out to Conrad, bro. Just seeing all of this. Now, mind you, I wanted to go to All In. I couldn't go, but the thing is, like, I got back to the area, like, maybe about a week and a half later, and I saw people walking around with, like, All In shirts and Young Bucks shirts to different areas, and they felt, when they were explaining to me that weekend, it sounded like somebody went on a religious retreat, like a revival, and came back galvanized by the Spirit of the Lord, you know? And right now, like, Conrad has found a way to put the spirit of professional wrestling into this unique experience through StarCast, through the stories, the history, the lore, the signings, the guests, and everything. And just to think, you know, people here in Vegas, they know about it, but they don't know about it. Like, I've been asking a couple questions, and like, yeah, I've been hearing, what is this Double or Nothing thing? What is this wrestling thing? And the one question that stood out to me by a cab driver, he said, so is wrestling getting big again? And I was like, holy shit. Like, that's one hell of a question. Is wrestling getting big again? Like, yeah. that means that this person has totally not seen or not paid attention to the last several years of whatever has been going on in WWE. And he says, I know The Rock is doing his thing in the movies now, but since then, I haven't really heard anything. Is wrestling getting big again? And for him to say that and know that there are people here for wrestling and that the people are not coming here for WWE, but they're coming here for AEW, that is due in part to the work that Conrad has done. And that dude, like, he got to go into – listen, I know we ain't got the Black Hall of Fame set up yet, but he's going to be an honorary entrant for everything that he's doing right here. Because, I mean, like, wow. Like, when I heard that, I was like, wow, man.
But it's what you said, Champ, when we first started our podcast. It's an alternative. And I think when some people get tired of the status quo over and over again and you bring an alternative out, people want to go to it, and people want to see the alternative. And you think about it, that weekend.
That was on me. My phone was going in and out. Repeat that one more time.
Now I said the alternative. Champ said it earlier in the show. The alternative is AEW.
Wait a minute.
It is different.
My fault.
WWE tried to get you, but not AEW is that alternative. You talk about All In Weekend because it was different. It wasn't WrestleMania. It wasn't WrestleCon, and you know WrestleCon piggybacks on the WrestleMania. Nothing against WrestleCon, but it was outside of the WWE, which made it big. Which made it different. And then you add the podcast component to it because everybody listens to podcasts these days, and you bring in storylines and all that, and everybody does their own Q&As, and now you have all that under one roof. It becomes a festival, it becomes an event, and people love it and they enjoy it. And I think that what makes a difference, and that's why you have that crowd to go into it. I'm a big fan of AEW. I'm a big fan of Comrades and StarCast. I just want to see how they transition these one-offs into a weekly series. That's my biggest thing.
Yeah, I agree.
I can agree with that. I got you.
You know, I believe it will transition. You know, and I think StarCast should be exclusively to maybe one or twice a year, or put it on their big shows, whatever they do, big pay per views. But it shouldn't be, you know. And I hope Vegas may be their home base, or like to see where their home base is at. You know. And this,
the historic ramifications of them doing this in Vegas in the summertime. Back in the day, during the territory era, they used to have the conventions, the wrestling conventions, and all of the owners of every territory used to descend upon Las Vegas in the summertime, and they used to trade talent from territory to territory. So what Cody is even doing with this location harkens back to the way that they used to do business back in the day.
Good point. It is a great point. And they guess what? They're doing Vegas before WWE can do it again. Yep. Because
what do you mean before WWE can do it?
No. I said before WWE. Hold up. I mean with this era, because
they were just in Vegas what 2 years ago, years ago.
I mean, with this era was being hot. What I'm saying is you got the NFL team coming. You got a hot hockey team coming. You have new arenas that's going to be there. Right now, AEW's planting their foot in for when the new football stadium there. They're planting their foot in when the baby.
I hear you. You may be reaching with that one, though, Glenn, because WWE has run Vegas within the last couple of years. It's not like they've been doing it. You know what I'm saying? They were just there.
They haven't ran a convention like this there. Because let's be honest, this is a
convention. Okay, I'll give you the convention. Let me clarify.
This is a convention. They have not ran a convention. They have ran matches at the Thomas and Mack Center, but they have not ran a convention here. And AEW's running.
They were just at T-Mobile. You were there, Keith. You were there.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't they have? Not only Money in the Bank. They had something on the road to WrestleMania last year too. With Ronda Rousey.
I think so. You know what? I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah, last year. Yep. Last February, I think.
Yeah. So they did. Yes, they did. So they have been there.
They haven't brought a convention or of this magnitude there. Because when WrestleMania was there, there wasn't an access at the time.
Okay, but where are they gonna hold Mania at in Vegas? You know what I'm saying? AEW ain't holding nothing at Las Vegas Stadium.
No, they're not.
I mean, if you want to mince words with that one, AEW's not throwing anything remotely close to where if WWE wanted to run Las Vegas Stadium.
I think, like I said, you can't compare it. You know what I mean? Even with the ticket prices, man, like that. Oh, wait, hold on. I feel like we got another point here. So far, right? So far, if you start tabulating dollars and value, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have a decent floor seat, right? Already have the flight, right? And I didn't go into the bag yet to pay for the convention and the conference, but I'm gonna try to work something out with the people I know. But I will, you know, take a look at some receipts and see how much it costs. I'm starting to think that AEW can make their bones by giving fans a quality professional wrestling experience without having them break the bank to do so.
Well, with all due respect, you really don't have to break the bank to go to Access. For real. You really don't. The place you're breaking the bank at, for real, and that's not even just me being a WWE mark or anything, is WrestleCon. That's where you're shelling out hundreds and hundreds of dollars for your autographs. For now, granted, at least you get top quality. You have a real choice of top quality people. But with WWE, they do give you the Platinum VIP if you can get through to get it. But at least with Access, even if you don't get a VIP session, you're getting a good for your buck for $60 for what you can get walking around through Access is well worth the price you're paying for admission. So, you know, we can't say that you're not getting your something's gonna really give you your dollar, because Access absolutely gives you your money worth.
Yeah, you get four.
I hate how it's run as far as you meeting superstars because the lines are so ridiculously long. But overall experience, as far as what you're getting at that convention, it's worth it.
Well, you get 4 hours, right?
Yeah, you get 4 hours. The only thing is, you know, they switch the people out every 2 hours. And... Mm-hmm. If you ain't in line in time at the right person, you ain't getting through there. So,
once you're in for your $60, do you have to pay extra for the autographs
Okay. Nothing extra while you're in there for your 4 hours. You just got to stand in a long line, which you have to do at WrestleCon. We've been to WrestleCon several times and had a booth there.
Yeah.
It had been long lines. People, you know, good gracious, people stood in line for almost 8 hours for Hulk Hogan and 29.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I actually didn't stay on the line. I just walked up to him and gave him that. I was like, "What up, Hulk?" And then just walked off.
Yeah, we did too. We walked behind the curtain.
Yeah, that's what we all did, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Little would we have known what would have transpired several years later.
Right.
Right.
Hey, you can still, those who are listening to us may listen to podcasts tonight or tomorrow, even this weekend, you can still get AEW Double Nothing tickets right now. Cheapest ticket prices are $26.
Yep.
$26.
That's the price of a hot dog in Brooklyn.
$26 in
there. No, he's not lying. Like, if you go to Barclays, yeah, not lying. Like, that's really what you're about to say.
Yeah, the most expensive seat right now is $1,000, and that is two tickets of floor A, row D.
And if you get there, just don't say my name. Because I ain't even supposed to be in there.
Yeah, definitely that. Definitely that. Hey, but you fellas, yo, enjoy the show. Always a pleasure. Give us your closing thoughts as we get out of here.
You want to go first, champ, or should I?
Yeah. Well, I'll go. I'll just say that, like I said, I'm flying blind here. This is a totally new experience, and I'm documenting everything. I got sent y'all the videos with the guy that got the Cody fade, the Cody Rhodes fade in his hair. I'm just looking forward to see like what fans are going to bring to the table, because it's all about the fans' energy that make the event what it is. So, you know, I'll be reporting to you guys via group text, and ultimately we'll recap next week.
Gotcha. Was it?
I had a good time at Money in the Bank this weekend. Met a few people. I'm not going to bring their names up so I can make Champ mad again. So I'm not going to do that. He knows who they are. And no, I did not eat the pancake. I caught. So, yeah.
Yo.
Oh, wait. I have a confession. Right? I was actually disappointed. I was watching Game of Thrones during Money in the Bank, but I was actually disappointed
that I did not see Sami Zayn involved.
Yeah, you know what?
I am turning the corner.
Okay, I respect that. I can't even be mad at you. You were man enough to admit it. I can't even be mad at you about that.
But you know what? I'm going to give you this, and I got to apologize, champ. You know what? Sami Zayn with the skull cap on is better than with Sami Zayn with the hat.
It's amazing what a hat can do.
I definitely give you that credit, because I was like, someone with the black skull cap, I say, you know what? That is better than that hat that he had on. So I give you credit on that one. You cut it on that. But closing thoughts here, man. Just enjoy being a wrestling fan. It is a great time to be a wrestling fan right now with all the wrestling that's going on, with all the competition that's coming up, with AEW or nothing, just a few hours away. Also, next week, Saudi Arabia. It's 2 weeks from now. Excuse me. June 7th, Saudi Arabia. But it's just fun being a wrestling fan. See how things flow and see how things shape up. And if you want to be a wrestling fan, you can go and fight. And they don't even sponsor this podcast, but I hope that they do. But Fight TV app, FITE app, and you can go watch every podcast and everything that you want to watch from Double or Nothing this weekend for $59. I hope you enjoy the pay-per-view. We'll break it down next week. We'll talk about it. Wizard, take us home.
Hey, if you're not confirmed, consider yourself denied.
In the story, ladies and gentlemen, good night.